During that time, all these Jews that were alive had been raised in the temple. And so the whole book of Hebrews was written as one of the earliest books, and it was to inform the Hebrews of the fulfillment of these types and shadows in the Old Testament by Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." I believe that was Jesus. Some people believe it was Gabriel, but the angel of the Lord is Jesus in the Bible over and over and over. And understand, Jesus is God. He can be in more than one place at one time. There's another place in Matthew where he says, "The Son of Man," and he's standing right there in front of everybody, and he says, "Who is in heaven?" Wait a minute. You're right here, but you're in heaven. How's that? Because Jesus was God, and he's omnipresent. And that's the mystery of the Trinity and the Incarnation and all that. But verse 3, look, it says, "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow." And you can go back and read in Revelation where that's the description of Jesus. Verse 4, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." And then verse 5, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Read verse 7. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." So, was it Jesus, the angel of the Lord, or not? We'll find out when we get up to heaven. We're going to have Q&A with Jesus, and we'll ask him his questions. But regardless, all these Jews, with the Spirit of God ministering to them, would have thought of these things in light of the temple worship. The first day of the week, the day after the Sabbath, and that sheaf being waved, the first fruits. And if they were not aware of it or didn't think of it, that's why God had Paul write, in order that they can, like you and I who don't have a clue when it comes to the temple life, the temple world, but yet we're given light. That's why J. Vernon McGee goes on to finish his quote, "The important item to note is that it was done on the first day of the week. This is so important because Christ is called the first fruits." Where's that? In Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." So we're reading the same, we're reading a commentary on Matthew 28 from the Apostle Paul. Go ahead and read 20 through 23 with me. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So James said, though, in addition to what we just read about Christ being the first fruits, and then it says we're going to be raised just like Jesus was raised, but James said we would be a kind of first fruits. So then how are we a kind of first fruits? Well, being in Christ, we are risen in Christ. Go over to Colossians, a couple pages over in your Bible. Colossians chapter 2:10 says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ," read 12 with me, "buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we are a kind of first fruits, as we have been raised with Christ already. That's why your resurrection and my resurrection, either in the rapture, of course, we'll still be alive, but we'll be immediately changed and glorified. But if you die before the rapture, your body goes in the grave. You go to be with the Lord. Your spirit and soul are with the Lord. But then at the rapture, you come back with Him. We all come back with Him. And it says that the trump will sound with the voice of the archangel, and the dead will rise first, and that's your body. You're already with the Lord in the air. Your body then is raised, and you then put on that body. It's as good as done. Because you and I are risen in Him. And so in Christ, our resurrection is guaranteed. And then the people in the rapture come up afterward. People say, why do the dead in Christ rise first? Well, because they got to put their suit on. We have our suit. It just has to be changed. They have to put theirs on. Amen? That's just logical, I think. Reasonable. Amen? Johnny?
What's the reference for that verse where Jesus said, the Son of Man is in heaven?
I have to look it up. Jenny can look it up for you. So, that's how we are a kind of first fruits in the fact that we are as good as risen. I know so many people through the years who just wouldn't meditate on that, wouldn't really receive that. And they just, that I think it's one of the reasons they don't live a good Christian life. They don't really identify themselves according to how God identifies them. And so they live for the flesh, not thinking in terms of, man, I'm already risen in Christ. This world, the only thing that matters is what I do that is pleasing to God. That means you do work. You do pay your bills. You love your family. You do the things that God is pleased with. But you do those things to please Him. And because you know that's what's important in life is pleasing Him. And that's what keeps you on the straight and narrow. Keeps you from going off the path. Doug?
There's times when things down here can kind of get you down. I always think of that one verse where absent with the body present.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and John says you that hope purifies you. Yeah.
John 3:13.
Go ahead and read it.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
Isn't that some? So, reality check. Remember, in the Old Testament or in Old Testament terms, we are the parenthesis. See? We are the parenthesis. There's the chart that's available at bbfohio.com resources charts. Between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, you'll see that little yellow block. That's when you read in the Old Testament, all the prophecies jam 69 and 70 together. And the church age, as we call it, the dispensation of the gospel of grace, isn't talked about clearly and openly. There are inferences there. There are things that we know are referring to that when it says Jesus will be a light unto the Gentiles and a people who are not His people will be His people. We read about that in Hosea. But as far as clear doctrinal truths and such, that parentheses, which now goes on 2,000 years close to it, is just a blip. And when the prophets spoke, they brought it all together. You take the 69-70 week and bring it together. And so that's why, or explains why, we're a kind of first fruits, while the tribulation saints are what? Look at Revelation 14:1. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. If you get to a dictionary, concordance, or maps, you've gone too far. But think of this now. We're a kind of first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits. Revelation 14:1 says what? Are you there? Read it with me. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood in the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 and 4,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now jump to verse 4. Read that. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Isn't that something? So Jesus is the first fruits. The tribulation saints are the first fruits. Well, we're in between, so we kind of are too. That's what James is saying. Jesus is the first fruits. The 144,000 in the Great Tribulation, they're all martyred and killed before the end of the tribulation, and they're called first fruits. We're in between Jesus and the 144,000, so we're kind of the first fruits too. Why are they called the first fruits? Because the harvest, see, the first fruits isn't the harvest. The harvest comes at the end. The harvest comes after the first fruits. The first fruits are the 144,000. They die pretty much, I believe, right up to and right at the first half of that 3.5 years. The harvest happens right at the end of the 7-year tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel. And that's not the first fruits, that's the harvest. That's the end of the harvest. So Jesus describes and explains this in Matthew 13:30. If you want to turn there. Matthew 13:30. You can't miss the forest for the trees. But we are between those. And that's why James says, we who are begotten by the Word of God, which is talking about being born again, which is this dispensation, we are a kind of first fruits. In the sense that we're stuck between the Jesus, the first fruits, and the 144,000, the first fruits. And so then Matthew 13:30, Jesus is touching on what we just read in Revelation 14. Read verse 30 with me. Let both grow together until the harvest. Wait a minute, when's the harvest? At the end of the 70th week of Daniel. At the end of the tribulation. Continue. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Notice, in this harvest, first the tares are reaped and burned. That's why you know the second coming and the rapture are not the same thing. In the rapture, God calls His church into the air and says forever to be with Him. This, the saints stay on the earth. And the tares, people with the mark of the beast that are still alive, they're taken and burned, thrown in the lake of fire. Luke 21:28. Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. So unlike the rapture, this harvest removes the wicked and leaves believers behind. At the rapture, He removes the believers and leaves the wicked behind. And we read in Revelation 14, 1 to 5, and then verse 15 says, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. There's people who try to claim that's the post-trib rapture. This is a holocaust. He's thrusting in a sickle and killing people. He's not rapturing people. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That's why James says that those who have been begat by God, by the Word of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. It's between Old Testament typology and end time prophecy that you understand what he's referring to. And there are two kinds of harvest spoken of. One is a harvest of judgment. The other a harvest of salvation. The rapture is a harvest unto salvation. We have not been appointed to wrath. But the judgment, the harvest of judgment is what Jesus is talking about in His second coming. And until the end time, let us do our part in the harvest of lost souls with the preaching of the gospel. That's what Jesus was talking about in Luke 10:2 when He said, therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's us. The reapers at the end of the tribulation are angels with sickles. It's a totally different thing. And that's where we're in this study as we close. And turn to page 252 in your hymn book. 252, and we'll sing Only Trust Him.
Thank you. testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.